I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
In the dark, I fed my dream.
Welcome to episode 356 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where Pimp stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh yeah, good to be with y'all. Well, it's already, man, I can't even believe, where did all of the summer go? I can't even believe it. Well, anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam. Soil saviors. Yeah, folks, that's how we're cleaning up Western North Carolina, and it works really well on your garden. In fact, I'm going to be showing you how I apply it, hopefully in a day or two. I meant to try to get that done today, but, man, it's one of those days. It's maybe it has something to do with that blood moon last night. I don't know. Well, anyway, how's it going, son?
Pretty good. The little baby scraped her knee today, and it's all been downhill since then. She's been losing it. She's fed up with everybody today. She scraped her knee, bruised it, I think, a little bit. She fell on the rocks earlier, and nothing's making her happy right now.
Well, she might think different if she gets to see her grandpop. So, yeah, prayers to my little grandbaby, of course. She'll be in our prayers as always. And I guess she's just going to, you know, that's the problem with being a little farm girl coming up. I want to thank everybody in the house. Yeah, William, what do you got there? You're holding up a shirt?
Yeah, I got my Pastor Ray's Pimp shirt from Eric Sider. It came in just a few minutes before the podcast. Check this out. And then the bat.
Well, yeah, you're not. It's kind of gold, so permaculture, yeah, it's hard to see right here, at least with me, with these glasses on. So, yeah, I want to thank everybody in the house tonight. I'm not sure Renewed Homestead's going to be in here. They got a lot of stuff going, but you know the deal. Don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. And if you're wondering why we're over here exclusively on this platform and also on the Rumble channel, it has to do with the fact that I could get on there on my regular YouTube channel, Perma Pastures Farm, and do – I could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. And they would flag it every single time we do a podcast. Every time we go live, this is exactly what goes down. So we're having to do it exclusively on this channel. So if you're over here, you stumbled on us, go ahead and subscribe. When I do the next video, I'll let everybody else know about it. But if you need any of the Soil Saviors product we're talking about, look in the show description down below, and you're going to find everything you need. So I'll just go ahead and kick it off with the farm news. Want to thank everybody in the house right now. What's up, my pimp family, Rose says. Yeah, I never get tired of seeing that, especially when you know it's a good word. It stands for permaculture is my passion. So people, stop sending me these crazy emails telling me, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you got a couple of pimps on there. How many pimps do you know are farmers? Okay, well, out of a couple of us. Actually, there's a lot of them in the chat right now because permaculture is their passion too. Okay, I need a different acronym for that, but I think you get the point. Well, speaking of Eric's shirts, he's got a whole line of them out there, and he's taken some phrases or whatever things I say from time to time, and he's made some shirts out of them. So go check them out. And, you know, some of them maybe you want to wear in public. Most of them, I think, all of them, except for one, maybe some folks. Especially if you have a little less melanin in your skin, you may not want to wear that in public, certainly not in the black neighborhood. But I'm giving everybody permission to anybody who wants to wear this shirt because I think you know that I'm right. And yeah, I'll talk about that shirt in future videos because I'll almost certainly wear it. So anyway, man, here's, I don't know, you know, I don't know what to make of this whole moon thing. Last night was a blood moon, apparently. And, man, there was definitely a lot of moonlight, a lot of crazy stuff going on, I'm sure, in Asheville, because it's one of those places. It's the witch capital of the world. So there ain't no kind of freaky, no telling what kind of freaky stuff went on out there. But, hey, I stay prayed up from the feet up. So we ask the Lord to surround us, surround our families, surround this house, this property, you know, with mighty angels, you know, to keep any nonsense out. So apparently, maybe I should have prayed for it today, because it was like every, I guess my grandbaby's over here getting scraped up. Man, I'm, it's just one of those days where, and I'm just going to talk about this briefly. It's one of those days where you just can't, it's all you can do just to put one foot in front of the other. In fact, it got so bad, I put on the wave watch, because I'm like, okay, man, I gotta bombard myself with some of these solfeggio tones. So I put it on and I'm like, okay, dude, you got to chill out. Because even on the worst day, even on my worst day, doing farm work is better than my best day working for somebody else. So got to always remember that. But it's easy. It's so easy when you sleep in the same bed at night, you take so many things for granted, and then you find yourself in a position, and maybe you got to sleep on the ground, or maybe you're somewhere you don't want to be, or whatever the case may be. And it's those little things that have to put you in place. So I got this thing kicking on solfeggio tones. Son, I don't know why, but I thought about it on the way upstairs. Yeah, this is just how my mind works. I was like, okay, I got this thing on solfeggio. And I was thinking, you know what? I bet there's an Italian stripper somewhere, some dude, some male man dancer named Solfeggio Jackson out there dancing for Chippendales or something. I was like, that would make a rather handsome stripper name. And then
well,
I got
to have to be a guy.
Why Solfeggio Jackson Esquire, or you know, another name I thought of, you know, what about it? Cumberbun would make or Cumberbuns would make a pretty interesting name for a male dancer. And the reason that came up, my man T from Mountain Readiness, I didn't know back in the day when he used to be a prize fighter, my man tried stripping one time.
Is that something you want to say on the podcast?
Well, I done did. Hey, T, it's out there now, bro. And I was like, dude, what did you call yourself? I mean, were you like, you know, I don't even know. I was trying. And then it stuck in my brain ever since he told me about it. And I was like, man, what kind of crazy name? I forget what he said. He told me what it was. But then my brain goes down these rabbit. I guess it can be a blessing and a curse at the same time, because there are times where when something takes root in my mind, I stay working on it, and it can sometimes be crazy nonsense like this. Like, if I were a man dancer, what would I be? What would I call myself? So, Solfeggio or Cumberbun, Solfeggio Cumberbun Esquire, who knows, or Cumberbuns. But anyway, it was one of those days. Boy, you talk about a rabbit path. I'm out there. I've been trying, folks. This is no exaggeration. Michelle and I have been trying to get these potatoes out of the ground since July. We're in September, and it's already gotten to the point where some of them are already seed potatoes all over again, and they're growing. So I'm like, okay, now, you know, okay, interesting navigation. So I can sit here and let these seed potatoes grow, maybe get some new potatoes out of it. Brown sugar. Oh my goodness. Hey, and by the way, folks, T is going to be going live. So, you know, maybe you guys want to ask him about this. He's going to be going live tonight. He's going to have a guest on tonight at 8 p.m. that I'm going to have on Wednesday. So maybe y'all might want to ask T what his man dancer name was back in the day. So that's
Wally as a guest.
Yeah.
You're going to ask him Wally as a guest.
Why not, man? It'll spicing up the show, because I'm going to check it out, because the guest he has on lives up in Virginia. And folks, you will not believe what's unfolding. Joel Salatin just sent out an email, I think, regarding this case. I'm going to have him on Wednesday. His name is Bryson Lipscomb. And what they're trying to do to these people that are selling milk and doing honest to goodness work on their farm is unbelievable. But anyway, you might break up some of the tension and ask T what his man dancer name was back in the day. Tell him Billy told you so. So yeah, Mountain Readiness. That'll get people to tune in. But yeah, this is important stuff that we got to stay on top of. But back to the potatoes. Sorry about the rabbit trails, folks. I'm thinking about getting, you know, kind of feeling my way through it, getting all the potatoes that are ready and then leaving the ones that have reseeded in the ground. Now, when you leave potatoes in there this long, they're going to be split. You're probably going to have problems. There ain't no telling what I'm going to be looking at, but I am seriously thinking, what do you think, son? What would you do?
At this point, yeah, I think they're seed potatoes. I mean, you could just let them grow more potatoes if you wanted to. I don't know. I would harvest them.
I know that that are sitting there are going, dude, we got this cat working overtime, killing all the rats. If we don't get this stuff out of here, man, these rats are going to have a field day.
Yeah, I would go ahead and harvest them and then just replant the ones that are clearly no good for like consumption and everything. That's what I would do is harvest what I can and then go through, sort them, and then replant the ones that are clearly like seed potatoes. Anything that's green, anything that might be slightly moldy can go to the compost. Yeah, mountain readiness just popped up, Dad. You're going to have some answering to do.
Hey, T, I'm just driving traffic, bro. I got everybody going your way at 8 o'clock because he's going to be talking about some serious stuff, y'all, besides man dancing. Hey, who hadn't done a little man dancing back in the way? I know T can sing because I heard him out at the Mountain Readiness Festival. And he did a John Denver song. I was like, man, my man can actually sing. And he had everybody singing along with him, man. I mean, who doesn't love John Denver? I mean, bro, they're even playing John Denver in the hood, I'm sure. Anyway, other things we got going on around here. Finally got to cook some barbecue this year. It's been all year, folks. We've been that darn busy that I've not been able to cook any barbecue at all until recently, and it was thanks to T and Amber over there that turned me on to a new way of doing barbecue, and I took this thing for the old college try. Boy, I could not be more pleased. Did some beef ribs, which I got a whole rack filled up because beef ribs are more difficult to do in terms of smoking because it takes so darn long. They have so much. As a butcher, I can tell you there's a lot of connective tissue in there. If you got beef ribs, it got way too much fat on the outside, which beef ribs always do. And there's going to be some, you got your internal and external intercostals around those ribs. And when you get to cows and stuff, man, you're dealing with membranes, tendons, all these other things. So when you got to cut a meat like brisket or ribs from a cow, they always take considerably longer because you got to cook them slow and low. Man, I just don't have with my old, my old way of smoking, man, I got to check this thing every 45 minutes. I cannot do that and do a project and stay on it and do this responsibly. So anyway, it was good to have some ribs, beef ribs that came off absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to do, remember, permaculture. We're going to be talking about that and how it overlays with preparedness. Think about this. I want y'all to really consider this. So all those trees I have out here, these fruit trees, nut trees, whatever the case may be, you can use all of that wood that you prune away for smoking. I got a peach out here. I'm looking at it right now. And I took off, well, it was another peach altogether, but I took off maybe a third of it last year, real good sized peach tree. And I mean, why put that in a burn pile? Folks, you can make some fantastic barbecue. If it grows fruit, you can definitely use it for barbecue. So take that wood, set it back a year, season it up. And then you got yourself some really good wood. I mean, I don't know what they're charging for smoking wood these days, but last I looked, man, hickory was not cheap. That's why barbecue is part of the reason why barbecue is so darn expensive. So,
On that note, Dad, I bought two beef ribs yesterday, smoked beef ribs yesterday. You know how much two of them cost?
Huh.
$40.
What?
Yeah. In Texarkana. Yeah. They charged $20 a rib.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's meat on beef ribs, but there's a whole lot of fat on a beef rib too. And there was nothing but
bone when I was done.
Well, I imagine, but there's still just with the nature of that meat, it takes so long. So that's why I haven't done any. I was like, man, how can I do this for 8 hours? Every 45 minutes going back here, stoking the fire. Then you got to hope the thing maintains heat. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I'll talk about it more in the future, but man, this new way of doing it, I can still go out and do what I got to do, and I still got fantastic meat that's perfectly done. So other things going on around here. I guess that's all I'm going to cover around here, but I do want to point out something because I made something of a prediction on Friday last week. Now, people in this audience almost certainly are going to know about it. Remember that little sit-down meeting Trump had, and people lost their minds, I mean, whether on Twitter and some of the other platforms, regarding the dinner that he had with Bill Gates and Zuckerberg. You know, the same Zuckerberg that kicked him off of Facebook, the same Bill Gates that's probably responsible for half this junk, this fly ash and everything else falling from the sky. You remember that guy? I mean, two enemies of humanity, and he had them down for dinner, and everybody's losing their minds. I made a prediction. I said, mark my words, by Monday, this will be forgotten. It's Monday, and as I predicted, it's forgotten. Folks, this is right out of the pages of Machiavelli, and I'll give you the cliff notes. So if you read The Prince by Machiavelli, it's basically all of this sage wisdom of what to do, what not to do. And if you are a diabolical SOB, man, you can really use this thing. You can look at the Prince and look at history and all the leaders that have applied, whether witting or unwittingly, all the things in that book. I'm like, okay, they're going to use a page out of it right now. They know that whenever you do something good, and this is advice from Machiavelli, whenever you, as a leader, you're taught in that book, whatever bad you do it all up front and you do it on a weekend. Well, they didn't have weekends back then. Every day was Monday, essentially. But essentially, you do it at a time where it can easily be forgotten, which is why they call Friday dumping days in the media. That's when they're going to dump out the stories that where they can say they officially told you, and then it'll be forgotten by Monday. I predicted, I said, as outraged as everybody is, and I wrote it on X, as outraged as everybody is, mark my words, it'll be forgotten by Monday. It's Monday. And what do you think, son? Did they remember or forget?
They forgot.
Absolutely. Right on the money. Every single time. Folks, I'm only telling you this to let you know how you're being played. A lot of you already know, but because I've worked in the media, specifically in radio, I know how this works. And whenever you see something, I mean, they're openly doing this right in front of us all, and still nobody cares. I just wanted to point that out, folks. Old boss, same as the new boss. I'm not. And then when you point it out in some platforms, the first thing they call you is a lunatic leftist. They apparently don't listen to this podcast because, you know, I didn't hear anybody complaining when I came down like a ton of bricks on Biden. I mean, practically every single podcast and every week, nobody said anything then. But I'm really thinking at this point, the Trump derangement syndrome, especially among baby boomers, is worse than anything I've ever seen. In fact, I even put out today, notwithstanding the people that are in this chat right now, we're coming up on 9/11. And I would wager, just based on my experience, I could be totally wet on all this, but I'd be curious what everybody else's experience is. Based on my experience, I would say 80% of the baby boomers I know or I've come in contact with still believe the official story of 9/11. What do you think, son?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, more people my age were aware that there was something, at very least, something fishy going on compared to, like, the people your age. Most people your age were still, like, bought and paid for as far as the official narrative. It was people my age that were questioning, like, hey, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Son, I ain't that age, man. I'm Generation X. Man, I'm after the baby boomers, but I get the point. I mean,
not my generation. You're a generation older than me. That was the point.
Yeah. So the generation before, I don't know what it is with that generation where it makes them just absolutely unable. And I'm not saying all of them, because some of the most awake people are from that generation. But man, I am just absolutely floored how many of them just will not, under any circumstance, even consider, and like I said, some of these people I know are pretty famous, and they will not even entertain. They will walk away from you if you even bring up the topic. So, yeah, pretty crazy stuff out there. Anyway, I want to let everybody know before I hand it over to William, he's got some announcements as well. My man Dan over at greenhavenfarmandhomestead.com. Yeah, that's a mouthful. greenhavenfarmandhomestead.com. If anybody's looking for feeder pigs, they just had 22 of them over there, and he's got organic Tamworth pigs. You couldn't find pigs not long ago. It was especially during COVID, man. It was nearly impossible. So we had to buy some germy pigs and wind up chasing the worms out of them. But that's another story altogether, and we've talked about it, of course. But greenhavenfarmandhomestead.com. If anybody's wanting any organic Tamworth pigs, they're not raised on soy or anything else, man. They put a lot into them. I don't know that you're going to find a better price. So if you're looking for those, that's the place to go check it out. greenhavenfarmandhomestead.com. All right, Sam, what's going on in your world besides my little grandbaby getting all scraped up? I'm just going to reach over here and turn this fan on.
Yeah, you're good. Hey, also, your audio keeps cutting out. I don't know if it's on my end or if you have that net over the Wi-Fi, but something's happening. And it didn't pop up and it didn't start happening until you started talking about 9/11. Also, I have some pigs for sale as well, some Cooney Cooney pigs. If you live in Texas and you're wanting Cooney Coonies or Arkansas or Oklahoma, one of the areas, shoot me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. The more you take, the better the deal is going to be. Now, also today I launched the permaculture design course over on Patreon. I have chapter up right now so far, and that'll definitely take you some time to get through just chapter one. But yeah, I'm teaching the permaculture design course. I'm hosting it over on Patreon. I looked at a bunch of other alternatives that people were suggesting, and none of them really fit a video format as well as Patreon. I understand a lot of people didn't want to support Patreon just because some of the crap they pulled during COVID and everything, but it's the best option I got without getting to. And also keep in mind, I'm limited on my tech abilities. So, like, creating my own website and hosting all the videos there, that's beyond my scope right now. And that can always happen afterwards as well. So, if you guys are interested in taking a permaculture design course, this one is specifically focusing on practical applications of permaculture. So, a lot of the fluffy stuff that you get from, like, the university permaculture design courses and stuff is going to be removed from it. I'm going to show you guys practical applications, talk about those. What works, what doesn't work. And also, and Dad, you might agree with this, the issue with a lot of permaculture teachers that are available right now is that they have absolutely no experience. I have experience either doing the homesteading or farming or whatever it may be myself, as well as going and consulting on a very diverse, wide range of homesteads and farms and things like that. It's like I know how long it takes to put in an instant garden. I know what it takes to move animals every single day. I know how long these things take and what's feasible within a human's day. And those are things that most teachers aren't taking into consideration, and even some clients aren't taking into consideration because they don't have that experience. In fact, the chart that I just had right here, just a couple pages ago, was the one talking about the 5 to 7 year transition from a contemporary farm to a permaculture farm, which brand new clients and brand new teachers and stuff like that expect a instant transition from a contemporary farm to a permaculture farm. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's expected to be a 5 to 7 year transition. So yeah, if anybody's interested, it will be linked in a video that's going to come out at 6:30 PM Central. So right after this podcast, the video will be uploaded, and it's in the description box. If you look on Patreon, it's the Permaculture Consultant. So looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Well, I'm glad you kicked it off, son. So all the people that are hitting me up about where to go to get a permaculture education, well, I don't know that you're going to find a better deal than that. So, especially, I'm glad you pointed that out, son. There's so many people in this space, whether it's on YouTube or whether it's in, a lot of people trying to pass themselves off as designers that have never lived the life. They know it up here. They can tell you, you know, they can tell you the, how many people have you known that are book smart, but when you have them put their hands on it, they don't know nothing. I mean, they're more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. There's a whole lot of those people out there, and there's definitely a lot of them in the farm space, in the permaculture space, especially in the consulting space. So I'm glad you kicked that off, son, because I have never seen in my life so many. I mean, I seriously spent a little bit of time as of late wondering if I wanted to stay in this space on YouTube doing videos, because I'm like, man, I can't believe how many frauds there are out there and ones you and I both know about.
Yeah.
And everybody watching them thinks they're dropping good information. They don't have a clue. Or some of these super big people that aren't even doing their own work. They come in, but they don't know the first thing. If I said this one person's name, I guarantee everybody would know who I was talking about. I asked him about the third ethic when I was at an event with him. He's supposedly he's a popular YouTuber. You know, everybody would know his name if I said it. And I've dogged him a number of times on here anyway, talking about all of his crying and everything. He didn't even know what I was talking about with the third ethic. And I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be permaculture. He's like, what is that again? And I'm like, dude, if I got to remind you, man, I was like just dumbfounded that he didn't know. But you're teaching people permaculture and you don't know the third ethic? And the debate over it? I'm like, okay. And then when you find out what's under this. So anyway, son, I said all that to say, look, man, I'm proud of you. And I know, unlike a whole lot of other people out there, we live this life every day. And you have for most of your life. I mean, you've been farming most of your life. So a lot of folks don't understand what that's like. And, you know, I'm glad so many people are finding it interesting. Let me cover real quick here. David Zimmerman, what new drama has replaced Friday's drama? Yeah, exactly. So it's always one thing after another. And I guess it would be the latest bombing that happened over there in Jerusalem, if that's even believable. Who even knows what happened? I mean, they lie to us to it. Folks, when I say they lie to us to the extent that if they told me the sun rose in the east, I would honestly go out and check. If anybody knew a person that lied to you 1/100th to the extent that your media and your politicians do, they wouldn't believe you if they said anything. You wouldn't believe them if they said anything. But I don't know how they come up with a story every single time, whatever it is, and we just buy it whole cloth. You come up with this shooting, which, by the way, if you look at that latest shooting, there's not one part. Seth Holthouse from Man in America did probably the best expose on it, proving once again that it's another sham. Everything you were told about it is a lie, but the media already moved on by the time the truth puts on its pants, kind of like what Mark Twain said. So, yeah, that would be the latest. And then Alicat, yeah, says, I'm 55, same age as me. I questioned 9/11, and I still do. I told my husband when Tower 1 was going to come down, it says we have Wiener. Okay, she has pigs also, heritage breeds. Mulefoot, Red Wattle, which happens to be my favorite. So, Alley Cat, there may be some people out there. Put it in the chat where you're from, and maybe we can tell everybody about it. So,
More question, Dad. Amy B says, is the Patreon PDC course on a timeline for completion, or is it self-paced? It is absolutely self-paced. So, you can get in as little as $5. So, like, one Starbucks coffee per month is what you can pay to get access to this information. There's different tiers as well, depending on if you want to become like a consultant and a teacher and stuff like that, because I have to verify that you know what you're talking about. But yeah, it's self-paced. Chapter 1 is up right now.
Yeah, so that's awesome, man. And there's a whole lot of people out there. I mean, honestly, folks, if you want to save yourself a pile of money, get yourself a permaculture design certificate. I'm dead serious. How many people have I come across in my life? One of them, a doctor, put in trees and then wondered if we could put the swales in afterwards. Son, am I lying?
Nope. And this guy swore he knew everything about permaculture. Like, he read, first of all, this book right here is not a book you just read like a novel or anything like that. It is like a very information dense textbook. like there's a reason we go at it chapter by chapter during the permaculture design course. It's not like we're going to read it front to back. We're hitting the high notes because there's so much information in there. And he's over here claiming that he's read the whole thing front to back and he's got it all up here now. But put chickens in zone 5 and then asked if we could do earthworks after the installation of trees and stuff. It was wild.
Yeah, craziness for sure. All right, y'all, Redemption Shield 10% off with promo code PERMA. Wave Watch, I'm wearing it right now. Got them Selfeggio, you know, my stripper name going on right now. Got them Selfeggio tones kicking all over my body. If you want one of those Wave Watches, folks, it has 1,000 different settings for all the wonderful things you could do with it. Billy 100. Yeah, I better say that right. People going, ain't no telling what you're going to be typing in. Billy 100, the number 100, will get you $100 off. And then coming up this weekend, I'm going to be there. It's East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. I'll be speaking both days, Saturday, September 12th and 13th. That's going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. So hope to see a lot of you over there. Going to be a really good time. Last year was a lot of fun, and I got to meet a lot of new people. So I hope to say hi to those same people this year, meet a bunch more new people. All right, so we're going to jump over to the good news. So check this one out. I thought it was a joke when I first saw it, but I ended up posting it on my X channel at Permapastures Farm. Anna Paulina Luna found this procedural loophole, and it banned stock trading this month for everybody in Congress. So everybody in the Senate, everybody in the House. So you know why I'm calling this good news? You want to know why I'm calling this good news?
Yeah, why?
The last 9/11, a whole lot of people did a lot of, they knew it was happening. So they shorted the stock on American Airlines and probably a number of others. And so it is not illegal for Congress to do any insider trading. So the reason I'm saying this is good news, like I said, Martha Stewart went to jail for this. And it's perfectly legal for somebody like, I'll take one of the biggest suspects out there, Nancy Pelosi, worth, her and her husband worth billions. All these other people, who was the one, who's that little moron with the, out of New York?
AOC.
Yeah, man. That girl, when she first got into Congress, she was so bony, you couldn't hit her with a handful of corn. Now look at her. She's got that big old Latina booty sticking out there. She's been eating pretty darn good. You know why? Because she's now worth millions. She came in there broke as a joke, working as a freaking bartender. Now she's worth millions, wearing outfits that even the Hollywood elite can't even afford. So you tell me how that happens. Well, anyway, Anna Paulina Luna, which I have a love-hate relationship with, you know what? She probably bought some booty implants because you could iron clothes on her flat butt when she first got into Congress. So I'm guessing she probably purchased her booty. Anyway, she's able to eat pretty darn nice because they're allowed to inside trade. Now she's worth millions, and all the other polecats out there, all of them except for people like Thomas Massie and maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not 100% sure about her, but I know Thomas Massie isn't engaged in this stuff. You got 538 people in Congress, and all of them, I mean, absolutely sinister. Anyway, she put this in there. So, you know, I was like, man, this is really great news, because you know what that means? We're probably not going to have a massive 9/11 false flag attack in September. If they can't benefit from it, and short that trade, they're going to say, nah, let's hold this up till October.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking, okay. I think we may have dodged a bullet here. So I want to give a hat tip to Anna Paulina Luna. There's other things in which I can't stand her on, but you know what? I got to give you a hat tip for that. Dude, do you have any idea how upset these polecats are in Washington? Because they can't cash in. There's probably some stock deal. I mean, I don't even know how many people in Trump's orbit must be cashing in right now on all the, you know, we have a tariff that only the insiders know about it. Boy, you can make a pile of money on stuff like that. So, yeah. Anyway, I think we dodged a bullet, so I'm going to look at that as good news. All right, here's some other stuff here. 6 common artificial sweeteners are now linked to cognitive decline. Some of these we've been told about for a long time. Now, aspartame, check this out, folks. And this is speaking of 9/11. So who was Secretary of Defense at that time? Those of you that are old enough might remember it was Donald Rumsfeld. If you look at that guy all the way back, I mean, he was one diabolical SOB, even from early on. Even Cheney was quoted at one point in time saying, man, this guy's off the chain. Okay, so everybody knows he was running the Pentagon on 9/11. Remember he talked about that $2.3 trillion that came up missing? Well, you know who was behind getting aspartame cleared and approved? Because they knew it was creating holes in the brains of all the mice out there? Ding, 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 ding. You guessed it, Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, wow. Polecat like nothing I've ever seen before. But anyway, the six of them are, and some of these I can't pronounce. Aspartame. Thank you very much, Donald Rumsfeld. Saccharin. This other one's something, potassium. I don't even know how to pronounce that one. Esophamine. Potassium. I never even seen that one on a product because I read everything on that I buy these days. Erythritol. Xylitol. I didn't know about that one. Sorbitol, and they're all linked to faster brain aging and cognitive decline. In fact, this article says even small amounts of this stuff, equivalent to what you find in one can of Diet Coke, can accelerate brain aging by 1.6 years with aspartame.
Wow.
1.6 years. Yeah. Somebody.
Now, xylitol. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, son.
Xylitol, I thought they were like, even Mike Adams was talking about some of the tooth benefits of xylitol and stuff like that.
He was using xylitol for an experiment, as I understand it, where he was trying to do an equivalent of what Dr. Emoto did with the water experiment. He used xylitol because it'll remain frozen at room temperature, but it didn't used to be that way. There's a whole story. I could probably do a whole podcast on the crazy things that happened in xylitol. And nobody understands why. There was once upon a time it was liquid at room temperature. And then for some reason, all of the xylitol on the planet at some particular date all of a sudden became solid at room temperature. So the experiment that Dr. Emoto did with water was what Mike Adams tried to recreate with xylitol. Because what Dr. Emoto would do to prove that water carried memory, and this is also in the work of Dr. Luc Montagnier, who just passed on recently, won a Nobel Prize for the work he did and probably should have won a couple of them. Anyway, Dr. Luc Montagnier and all these others, they're like, man, there is something to water. There is something special about it. Well, Dr. Emoto got glasses of water. And let's say on one glass, he wrote love. Another glass, he wrote hate. Another glass, he wrote indifference. Another glass, he wrote, as you can, you know, he froze every glass of water. And I'm simplifying this a great deal, but he froze them all. And then looked at the ice crystals under a microscope after it was frozen, proving without all doubt, and this has been absolutely verified over and over and over again, and Mike Adams did it again with xylitol, but he didn't have to be in a freezer to get it done. You see the point? I mean, he wanted to use xylitol and did it with xylitol, showing that these substances carry. So think about this, folks. Didn't intend to go here, but, and this is something I have definitely got to remind myself about. It goes to show you that words have power. What does it say in the entire book of James, for crying out loud? I mean, there's so much in there, and that's why I really tried to take a better governorship out. As you can tell tonight, don't always get it right. But and I ain't taking back what I said about AOC, by the way. So yeah. But the point being is, there is such incredible power in the tongue. Jesus talked a lot about this as well. So it's not that what goes into a man that corrupts him, it's what comes out of him. And I can't help but wonder if a lot of the words that we speak. So we got to be especially cautious, folks. And when I learned about this, I try, and like I said, not always successfully, but I do try to be a little more purposeful about what comes out of my mouth. So folks, be mindful about what you say to your kids. I didn't know this back when William was little. Definitely. I would have said things differently. I mean, I would have approached things differently to some people out there that I've dealt with. Maybe if I didn't think somebody was a moron on two legs and, you know, I'm on a job and I actually say that to them, maybe the outcome would have been a little bit different. Some of these people I thought had it coming, but maybe I still shouldn't have said it. But the point being with these experiments with the xylitol and all these other things, is that this water, what is your body made of? It's water. So think about, like, I can't remember the doctor's name, but he's like, think about what you're thinking about. So when you think about these negative thoughts, you wake up in the morning and let's say you start that day, you're going to think mostly the same thoughts that you thought the day before and the day before and the day before. Well, you're made of water. And if you think, oh my goodness, man, I'm so worthless, or ladies out there, you're so tough on yourselves. Like, I don't look this certain way. I don't have this. I'm not this person. I'm not that person. No, you're exactly perfect the way you are. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but I mean it. The good Lord didn't make any mistakes in you. So be mindful of the words you tell yourself first and foremost. Even before you think about the words you tell other people, you got to start with yourself. It's like putting on that safety mask before you look at the patients on that plane. But it goes back to Dr. Emoto's experiment. So I didn't expect to go down this place, but I hope that's a benefit to everybody out there. But anyway, xylitol, erythritol, look, if it ends in OL, it's an alcohol, okay? Sugar alcohol. And they're not good for you. They're not good for you at all. So I'll tell you the sweeteners I use. Well, I got bees out here and I got honey and I'm going to make some pimp sauce maybe tomorrow. Chef Shane came up with this sauce. I gave him like a gallon of, my 5 gallons of honey. I can't remember what it was. I gave him a bunch of honey and he's like, man, what am I going to do with this? I said, well, you know, come up with a sauce or something. He came up with this sauce. Ask your mom. When you eat it, you cannot stop eating it. And he called it pimp sauce. Man, you can put it on anything. And if the base of it is the honey we have. So I actually got Shane. He was supposed to stop by tomorrow, but I'm up to my eyeballs in so many different things. So he was going to show me directly how to make it. But anyway, just a few ingredients. And maybe he'll share that with the audience here. It's somebody else's intellectual property. So I know people probably want to know what it is. Can't tell you because it's not my intellectual property. It is his. He invented it, so it's his pimp sauce. So anyway, honey is one thing we use when we have to use sugar. Your mom made me that birthday cake, son, out of coconut sugar. It's not that.
Yeah, there's
white sugar. You know, there's.
We don't feed June like any of the processed sugar or any of like the sugar alcohols in, or anything. Instead, we just use like honey, maple syrup, stevia, even monk fruit, things like that. I mean, there's definitely some alternatives. Monk fruit, it doesn't even have an aftertaste. Like half the time, I mean, unless you're using like tons of it, you'll notice that, okay, there's some monk fruit in there. But if you're just using it to like sweeten a drink or something like that, you really can't tell.
I'm right there with you, man. I like that monk fruit, man. I was like, man, I've used it in my barbecue and stuff because I'm trying to get away. Anything that has anything to do with processed sugar, I'm really, 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 notwithstanding the 2 tubs of ice cream I ate over the weekend, you know, outside of that, you know, I am doing the best I'm not saying I'm doing the best I can, but I have it in very, 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 very small amounts, especially when you know the consequence of, you know. Yeah. So anyway.
Hey, real quick, Dad, on that note, the people – like, okay, you said mentioning eating 2 tubs of ice cream right now. I got back on the carnivore diet, and just within this, I started last Sunday, I believe, and just within this week, I'm already down like 5 pounds, and I'm not even like working out. I'm about to start doing this. Caleb House asked for me to come teach at the Ruckus this next spring, and there's a 5K there, so I'm training this week. I'm starting to train this week. I'm gonna smoke these guys on this ruck. But I haven't even started working out. Huh?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you weren't done.
Oh, you're good. I haven't started working out. I haven't started rucking. I haven't started lifting, none of that stuff yet. Just by switching over to the carnivore diet, I'm already 5 pounds,
man. I'll tell you what, I would seriously consider whether you're doing that carnivore or whether you're doing a keto diet or anything like that. Check out the work of Dr. Jack Cruz. You'll find out that if you don't see the morning sun, that carnivore diet isn't working as well for you as you'd like. TD, I think, over at the Texas Boys, just heard that from my buddy Logan from Sowing Prosperity podcast, that you, even though you're doing that diet and you're seeing benefits from it, you will see twice as many benefits if you can make yourself see the morning sun. So that is critical. So make sure you do that. And
We have been. June demands it every morning.
Good. It sets your circadian clock every day, and it's when your body starts making the melatonin, even though you don't use it until nighttime. Folks, I'm telling you, We are working on some things right now. I was in a meeting earlier today where we are putting together something that is going to blow your mind. And it's going to have a lot of these people in here that will teach you this stuff. I'm going to expose as much of it as I can in some of the videos that I'm doing and how I'm going about it. But you can't get the benefits of all these diets unless you see the morning sun. You cannot do it. It is an impossibility. But none of these keto gurus are telling anybody that, probably because they don't know it. So, yeah, study to show thyself approved, not only in the Bible, but in other things too, folks. So just keep that in mind. So last good news, 93%. Now, this is for all the people out there to say I'm entirely too critical about Trump. Funny, son, that nobody ever said that when I came down on Biden like a ton of bricks every single video. You know, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Dr. Biden, Jill Biden, you know, it didn't matter. It just blows my mind how people have not realized that there is no, check out the work of Dr. Carol Quigley, the guy Bill Clinton thanked at his, I think his first inaugural address. Carol Quigley, check out the book he wrote. It's called Tragedy and Hope. And all of these people, it is a big parlor game. They're making you think that there's a distinction between them, and there isn't. But this is for all of you people to say, oh, I wish you'd quit talking about Trump. Well, am I saying things that are untrue, or I'm saying things that you find uncomfortable? Just ask yourself that. Anyway, here's a hat tip for you folks. CBP reports 93% drop in child smuggling at the U.S. border following targeted crackdown on the illegal sponsors. Okay. Well, you know what? Man, I'm going to give you a hat tip for that, man. We've raised a lot of money, and a lot of people in this crowd have done it as well. Steve, you're right there. Big Daddy Warp Speed is playing some like a fiddle. I mean, he's playing them like a cheap fiddle, not even a Stradivarius, bro. Yeah, no doubt about that. But in this particular case, when it comes to the border, I would also double caution you folks. Remember what Dr. Ron Paul said when he was in Congress and he was running for president, you know, when that fair and balanced Fox News totally screwed him over one side and down the other. And they made him out to be somebody that he wasn't. Yeah, you know, that fair and balanced, you know, Fox News that everybody seems to love. He said, be careful about a border wall, because I foresee the day when it might be used to keep you in. But right now, I'm going to celebrate the fact that, you know, it makes it a little bit harder for these child smugglers, even though we see video after video of people being able to jump this thing. I mean, I'm going to give you a little bit of army doctrine here, folks. You cannot make a border impenetrable unless you do three things. You can't do two. You got to do all three. You got to have an obstacle. It has to be covered by a threat, and it has to be observed. That's why the borders between North and South Korea are impenetrable. That's why the border at Guantanamo Bay is impenetrable. That's why, get ready for this one, that's why the border between Gaza and Israel was impenetrable. Nobody talks about that. But we're to believe that, you know, this thing that supposedly happened, and we're coming up on the anniversary of October 7th, we're supposed to believe that we got a D-Day invasion happened over there, even though they had all three. They had a border. They had an obstacle. It was covered by a threat, and it was observed. In fact, better than the other ones that I had named. And we're supposed to believe that they went over there, did this 8 hours unmolested without a quick reaction force. But you want to go ahead and keep believing that official story, you go knock yourselves out. Speaking of which, it just occurred to me that September 11th is the next time we're doing a podcast. And we may just have to do one special about that.
So, yeah, let's do like a full-blown expose that'll get us kicked off of YouTube.
Okay, maybe I'll rethink that. Maybe we'll bring up some stuff about 9/11 that you haven't heard before. And maybe you might want to know, because it'll make you ask critical questions. Every time they come up with some manufactured lie, the latest one, you'll say, hold on a minute. The people telling me this are all known pathological profligate liars. Let me back up a little bit. But yeah, it was great Jim Mars, which, by the way, that said there exists at least 40 to 50 times the information that 9/11 was an inside job than Kennedy was killed in an inside job, and still nobody looks at it. And that was before the great Jim Mars died. So, yeah, hopefully people are starting to wake up to it today, but I'm not so sure, man. People are I'm deadly serious. I think the only thing waking up this crowd is going to be mass starvation, folks. I hate to tell you that, but when you get a population this stupid, willfully stupid and decadent, history proves that only mass starvation wakes them up. So sadly, I think we're perilously close to that point. But back to this story, I am at least pleased that it made it a little bit difficult for these child smugglers to get across the border. But son, don't you think we ought to be asking the critical questions like, who's the customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Why are they bringing them all here? Like, it would suggest that the customers are here, right?
Just like the drugs. You know, everybody's like, oh, rah, rah, USA, we're blowing up, you know, these Venezuelans pulling drugs over here. Who's your customer? We know through people like Gary Webb and all the others that the United States CIA is responsible for 90% of it, if not more. 90%, if not more. The only thing they interdict half the time is the stuff that's coming through by other means. They even made a movie about it. I mean, there's been several movies about it. And of course, they keep out all the good stuff, but like American Made with Tom Cruise. And it was talking about, you know, I mean, it was the CIA was bringing this stuff in. There was another one, which it had Jeremy Renner, and I can't remember which Jeremy it was, but it was one of those guys, and was about Gary Webb. They ended up murdering him, called it a suicide. Yeah, he put out in the San Jose Mercury who was bringing in all this stuff. Guess who it was? Ding, 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 United States of Amnesia. That's who's bringing it in. But nobody's going after the rings. I mean, where's all the arrests for Epstein? Still waiting on those. There hasn't been a single arrest, even though everybody in this administration, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, I haven't seen anything, and I'm not buying anything. You people are a bunch of freaking liars. And when I see all the kids that came in during the Biden administration, where are they now? You could sit here and find Jan Sixers that are out there protesting in a crowd in winter with winter clothing on. You can find those people, but somehow you can't find all these little kids that came in across the border. Maybe you might want to start looking around the Biltmore. Maybe you might want to start looking around some of these Epstein clients that for some reason y'all can't seem to find. It's a giant hoax, but somehow Ghislaine Maxwell went to prison for a hoax. That's what I'm supposed to believe. Yeah, folks, I guess we get this close to 9/11, son. We get this close to 9/11. I guess all of it's coming out. And with all the suppression that they've done with me over the last year, and how every time we talk about anything that is worthwhile, they subdue the results or they throttle the video or just take it down altogether, anything that might actually help anybody. I think I'm getting a little fed up with it. So maybe I'm just kind of coming off my rocker a little bit. So I don't think we're going to get.
Yeah. Truth out, Dad. I don't care about the consequences. Let the truth out. I'm not going to stop you by any means.
Well, I mean, it's like Steve said here, and there's a number of others out here that have things to say about it as well. Big Daddy Warp Speed. And I've heard some people say it should be war on seed, which is exactly what it is playing us like a fiddle. And because the last administration was so incredibly awful, I wonder if this one doesn't have the potential to be even worse. And I can make a pretty convincing case for that. Because right now he's getting away with things that if Kamala Harris did, you people would be wanting to march on Washington. I mean, these things are unfolding right now. I'd like to know where are the arrests for all the setups on Jan 6. What about all those people that went away for 4 years for nothing? Where's their justice? Where's the justice for all the women that who are the ones who did survive? When I say survivors, folks, I'm talking like the Epstein people. Yeah, I'm talking survivors. You know how many people that they slaughtered out there at Zorro Ranch? The ones on that island? Little kids? Yeah, we're getting closer to 9/11, so maybe I need to come off my rocker a little bit. Maybe I need to expose more of this out there despite the consequences, because I don't see a whole lot of other people out there doing it. Everybody's worried, oh, they might take my YouTube channel. Well, I was looking for a job when I found this one. What do you think?
I can make another.
Well, we yeah,
make another.
There is that. But then look at this panopticon. Everybody wants to go on about how wonderful this everything's going on right now. The first thing this man did was give $500 billion to oligarchs. $500 billion, son. Okay, since we're not going to get into the main subject, we're going to have to rename this one, I suppose. But I was on the phone last night for 2 hours with an engineer that I've known for years. You know who he is, but I can't say his name. He was dropping information to me about these data centers that are going up right now. Folks, when I was still on my tools as a journeyman electrician, data centers is all I worked on for years. And I mean data center after data center after data center. They are hurting so bad for manpower right now that he told me that these contractors are giving, let's say you're already making $60 an hour as an electrician. They're paying another $20 an hour, buying their lunch every single day. I can't say where this job is because if they find out that he talked to me, they're going to get his money. And I'm not trying to put him in the crosshairs. But you would not believe the sun and moon that they're throwing. Like, where is this money coming from? He says, dude, I don't even have to ask for it. They're throwing the money at me to get anybody with a pulse to get in here and do these jobs right now. Why do you think that's happening? Why do you think Trump, the first thing he did, he didn't say anything about it on the campaign trail, but the first thing he did was hand $500 billion to build this surveillance panopticon for we the people. And we celebrate him for it. Are you kidding me? Son, I got a person, another guy reaching out of nowhere. I've known him years ago, asking me if I wanted to go back into trade, offering unbelievable amounts of money. Unbelievable amounts of money. So let's say you're already making $50 an hour. They're going to pad it another $20, pay your lunch every day, give you per diem and all this other stuff. And of course, half the electricians I know are just going to go out and buy a new truck or, you know, go get another ex-wife or something else. I mean, it's going to be something. I guarantee 90% of them will spend it on just sheer stupidity when you got an opportunity to really get yourself out of the matrix. But, you know, I'm not here to talk about that. But what do you think this is for? He also revealed to me, son, that all the water that is going, this is an engineer and one of the top dogs. If I mentioned the company he's working for and how far up the ladder he is, it would blow your mind. This is a person in a position to absolutely know. But he's wide awake and he's been a good friend of mine for I don't even know how many years. We've been really good friends for years. Anyway, all the water that's going through this thing, municipalities out in West Texas, Tennessee, you name it. There's a data center going up somewhere. I guarantee it. This is how careless they are. They have cooling towers on this thing, but instead of cycling, because it is of profound importance that they keep these things cool, they're running the water through these things and then just dumping it into the sewer. Even though you can recycle this water, it's not like it's, you know, all it is for cooling.
It's not toxic, is it? No. It's just cooling down machinery, right?
Absolutely. They could recycle this water, but they make no effort to do so because they know the powers that shouldn't be in the government are absolutely bankrolling every bit of this. That's where your billions are going. That's where these $500 billion and everything else, this is where it's all going for. Going to, folks. It's one giant grid. It's getting worse every day. And believe it or not, I would say it started on 9/11, but it didn't. It started at the Kennedy assassination. November 22nd, 1963. That's when this thing all kicked off. In fact, I think I could make a pretty convincing argument from the top of my head that it actually started near World War I. But that would take too long to unfold right now. Folks, you can see I'm not looking at any notes. This is the stuff I've had to bury into my head because I'll get some hooplehead out there saying, I don't believe that. Where did you get it? And then I'll provide the information. Oh, well, what are you, some conspiracy nut? You just remember that kind of stuff? Yeah, I do. I have to. But my days of trying to school the garden variety hoople-headed moron out there is abruptly coming to an end. So for those that have ears to hear, I'll let you know. I'll tell you about what's going on. But yeah, everything from this child, and it all stemmed from this article I'm talking about this 93% drop. Why is nobody asking the obvious question? So what do you think the obvious question is? If we had millions of children cross this border and nobody can find out where they are, what would be the obvious question?
Where are they?
Thank you.
Where
are they? Where are they? And that question doesn't even pop up. And if you ask it, you're a conspiracy nut. You're a conspiracy nut. Well, folks, I'm about to go full wheels off. Oh, yeah. Steve, I like what he says here. I was radicalized by Waco ever since. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that up. Ruby Ridge. Look at all those things, folks. Not the official story you were told. Every bit of it was a lie. You wanted David Koresh and Ruby Ridge. They could have picked him up every single town he went to. He went for a job or ran around the compound every day. Where is it illegal to have a compound? I mean, they set this guy up from the Randy Weaver. Folks, I mean, the list is long. Folks, if you only knew what's unfolding right now, but everybody seems to think that we are in this golden age. And folks, if you knew the connotations of using that language, when you start talking about a golden age, son, does it conjure anything in your mind when you start talking about a golden age, what that might portend?
Yeah, nothing good, especially when they're saying it. It's different if you're talking about like the millennial reign in scripture. That's one thing, but that ain't what they're referring to.
No, if you talk about the golden age that they're talking about, go read the work of Sir Francis Bacon. He wrote a book called The New Atlantis. Okay, folks? And I'm just giving you the cliff notes here. In fact, I'm not even going to have time to give you all the cliff notes. But they're openly, and they have been for centuries, they've been openly telling you what they intend to do. Plato's allegory of the cave. I mean, Plato was describing how it works back then. And by the way, that was 3,500 years ago, and it's still unfolding the same way now. And he was in support of it, by the way. It wasn't like he was saying, hey, this is what's happening, I'm not with it. As I understand it, it's been a while since the Critias and Timaeus were sitting in front of me, but he's basically saying, yeah, this is how we ought to roll things, you know. We get all these morons. They basically do all of our work. Well, think about this, folks. We're coming into this new age of AI. You think maybe the powers that shouldn't be might be asking, do we need them? Do we need them? And then you might be asking yourself, we got a guy who supposedly is America first, but he's doing all the polar. I see him in there having dinner with Bill Gates and Zuckerberg. Things don't add up here.
So, they already told us, Dad. They made a whole movie about it. They already told us exactly what they plan on doing, that Ready Player One movie. Remember that? Remember seeing that?
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember how annoyed I was watching that movie because we walked out of there and you were like, what, you remember what you said?
There's some goofy looking people in there. That's what stands out more than anything. It's just some goofy looking people.
I remember what you said now. You said, they just sat here. Sorry, this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. He said, they just sat there and had a civil war over an imaginary world.
Oh, yeah.
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 In this movie. I mean, if you think about that, how absurd that absolutely is, but that's exactly what they want for you. And just remember that polecat Steven Spielberg he made that movie. And it was honestly, the whole premise was stupid, but I was like, but this is exactly where they want us. That's exactly.
You know something else about Steven Spielberg? You know the Vril Maidens from the Nazis and how they were doing that automatic writing and stuff like that? Right. Steven Spielberg has been accused of doing the same exact thing. That's why he only writes whenever he's like completely wasted. He's in a broken state where the veil is thinner and then he starts writing.
Well, it wouldn't shock me none. I mean, there's a lot of people, whether in the music industry or otherwise, that have used, you know, things like that to, you know, when they asked, for example, a great one, Bob Dylan. I mean, he was a great example. I mean, man wrote some fantastic lyrics. He had no business singing them, but he wrote them. Probably the most copied musician in history. You know, same thing with him. Same thing with a lot of others out there. Eddie Van Halen, probably one of the most consequential guitarists of all time. And they asked him, how'd you come up with this? And he doesn't have it, but he was known to be wasted when he did a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, like you said, you thin that veil, there ain't no telling what may come in on the other side. Look, folks, I know this isn't the plan we had advertised or the show we had advertised, why prepping without permaculture is is a dead end. not quite what we planned, but hey, that's the beauty of doing podcasts like live radio, folks. That's exactly why I like doing the format the way we do. I could sit here and we could have this very antiseptic podcast where you hear a bunch of breaks and you hear a lot of, You don't hear the, you don't hear any of the mistakes in there, but I don't believe in doing that. I believe in doing these podcasts like live radio. And all the mistakes, all the flaws, all the, if I want to go down a rabbit hole or I feel compelled to do it, I do it. And judging by the numbers out there, apparently a lot of people approve. So, yes, and I think people are, to a certain extent, one way or another. I mean, some people hate it. Maybe some people like it. But, hey, this is, I am being the authentic me, and William is being the authentic him. So anything you want to add, son?
I think next episode we should talk about the beginnings of World War One and work our way up to modern day. That's what I think we should do the next episode.
Well, let me see if I got the bandwidth to try to put together a show like that, because I'm really up to my eyeballs in a lot of things. But yeah, if not then maybe, boy, it'd be a shame to not do something really critical on 9/11. But yeah, we'll see if we can put something seriously pimping together. Hey, I want to thank everybody in the chat tonight, man. Sorry I didn't get to a lot of your questions out there. It's kind of hard. That's one thing about not doing it live is that I'm able to kind of field every question out there. But, you know, I'm sure you understand that the nature of this. But look, there's a whole different community right there, and you guys are having some pretty awesome conversations in there. I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight. I want to thank Renewed Homestead for usually being in here doing the looking after the chat. But anyway, good show tonight. I want to thank everybody. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begins in the cycle of life, where the magic's aligned to the good.